Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your presence this morning. Lord, as we continue on this series of 1 Peter, and as we look at how to be holy this morning, I pray, Lord, that you will speak your word to our hearts and help us, Lord, to respond appropriately to the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again. Today we continue our series in the book of 1 Peter. And our reading today is 1 Peter 3, verse 13 to 22. We are looking at the topic, suffering for righteousness' sake. And it's under the central theme of how to be holy. So the focus today is suffering for righteousness' sake. And let me begin this morning by telling you a personal story about suffering. So about 26 years ago, or thereabout, I was growing up in a country called Nigeria. And one day we heard on the news that the military coup has happened, so there's a military government. Constitution has been suspended and all the things that follow afterwards. As a very young person, one of the things I noticed was there were sanctions placed on the country. And that meant that food was not enough. Cooking gas was not available. And people began to be very innovative. They started using diesel to cook. And at some point, there was no diesel to buy. And so everybody became a farmer by default. You had to grow your own crops. And also the government, or the military government, would not allow people to gather just to avoid protests. Anyone who was critical of the government disappeared. Either they were arrested or killed. You can't find them anymore. So people lived in fear. And this went on for 3 years. It was a period of hardship and suffering. And then there was this gospel that started to develop in the church. And when I say the church, I mean among the Christians. Some people will go out to preach and say, come to Jesus and your sufferings will be over. And that was very appealing to people who have been suffering for quite a long time. And today there are still many Christian theologians who preach that Christians cannot suffer, unfortunately. In fact, a pastor once told his congregation that it is a sin to suffer. Many Christians have divided opinion to suffering. And that is not just because I said it. In fact, in some theology that has been developed, there were those who say that rather than Christians suffering persecution, God will whisk them away. Either make them die or make them disappear from the scene. So when you look at Christian eschatology, for those of you who are interested in theology, study of the end times, the concept of suffering seems to be driving several theology about eschatology, because nobody wants to suffer. So what is suffering? Suffering is the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. It's the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. And those three words don't sound very good for us. But let's not forget, we are looking at how to be holy. A few weeks ago, I defined holiness according to J.C. Riley as holiness is the habit of being of one mind with God, according as we find this mind described in Scripture. It is the habit of agreeing with God's judgment, eating what he hates, loving what he loves, and measuring everything in this world by the standard of his word. And so he who most entirely agrees with God is the most holy man, or is the most holy woman. And so this morning, when we are saying how to be holy and saying suffering for righteousness' sake, we are going to look at this topic under two themes. What does it mean to suffer for righteousness? And what is the right attitude towards suffering for righteousness? If you go back to our passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, and I know this morning we started from verse 13, which was a question. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But I would like us to look from verse 8 for us to understand that question. And I'll quickly read verse 8 to 12. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. For the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. So what does it mean to suffer for righteousness? This is not suffering because of the wrong things we have done. As we are gathered this morning, there are so many people in jail, in prisons, who are actually suffering for the things they have done. That is not suffering for righteousness. It is not the suffering as a result of the poor decisions we have made in life. As free beings, as human beings, we make decisions, and sometimes we make poor decisions. And because of those poor decisions, we suffer, whether we are Christians or not. That is not suffering for righteousness. I told you a personal story of growing up at a time when a military government took over and there were sanctions, and many people suffered. In fact, many people, because they were hopeless, decided to trek through the desert into Europe and died. But that is not suffering for righteousness. Today there is coronavirus, and so many families around the world are suffering because of this virus. But that is not suffering for righteousness. It is not the pain, distress, or hardship we may experience because of the place we are born, or because of our inheritances, either because of the genes we had from our parents, or because of something that has happened or always happened in our lives. When we say to suffer for righteousness, it is suffering for doing the right thing. Suffering for doing the right thing. And I think it's important to put that in context. All of you will be aware that today in our world, there is a big debate on what is right or wrong. So if I say suffering for doing the right thing, what is right to you may be wrong to another person. And what is right to another person may be wrong to you. So to put this in context, Paul in Romans 10, verse 3 to 4 said, "For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of God. For the end of law is Christ, unto righteousness to everyone believing." So when we are talking about suffering for righteousness, or to suffer for the right thing, we are saying being punished or persecuted for believing in Jesus, or for telling the truth about God or man according to scriptures. It's important to define what we are talking about, to suffer for righteousness, suffering for what is right. And Paul was saying there is the righteousness of God, and there is a righteousness that people have developed for themselves. One of the verses that's touched my heart so much in scriptures is when Paul talked about love. And he said, "If I give myself up to be burned for other people, and even in that process I should die and have no love." And I said to myself, how can somebody die for other people and have no love? But the Bible says, yes, it is possible. So it is possible to build your own righteousness and think you are righteous, or that is right. But this morning we are talking about the righteousness of God. Let me just put that in context to us, for us to give some examples of what it means to suffer for righteousness. In 1 Peter 1, verse 1, when we started this series, we were told that this book was written to Christians who were scattered. They did not scatter by choice. It's because they were being persecuted. These people were suffering for their belief in Jesus. There's a story in the Old Testament. There's this man who was one of the leaders of his time. He was not a corrupt man at all. In fact, the Bible says everything he did, he was doing it properly. And he was so diligent and dedicated to his work that his colleagues became jealous of him. They were like, how can someone be so steadfast and so honest? And they wanted to remove him from his position. But they could not find any fault with this man, the Bible says. Except that this man trusts in God. He prays to God. So they use their influence to make a law in their own parliament. And this law says nobody should speak or make any request to any other person apart from the king. And this man, Daniel, the Bible says, he had set times that he prays. He would not allow the law in parliament to stop him from praying to God. And one evening, as he was praying, as he used to pray, he was caught for praying and thrown in jail. That man is suffering for righteousness. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, the Bible gave us another example of a young man who was a deacon in the church. He was a man that doesn't command much respect. But then there are some people in the society, some very respected religious people, who became very jealous of him. They were jealous of him. How could God be using this ordinary deacon when we have the robes of righteousness, or robes of religion, are not being used? And what they did was they organized people to falsely accuse him of blaspheming God. When we talk about blasphemy in the UK, it might not be a big thing to us because our society is not very religious. But there are some societies that are so religious that to blaspheme God, even the man who does not serve God, we consider that a very big offense. And so Stephen, because of the blasphemy raised against him, was stoned to death. He suffered for righteousness. A few years ago, there was a lady called Aisha Bibi. She was convicted of blasphemy by a Pakistani court and was sentenced to death by hanging. Somebody said, this woman has blasphemed Allah. And so, her punishment was to be sentenced to death by hanging. Because in Pakistan, to try to preach or convert a Muslim is an offense. And there are many Christians who are suffering today for righteousness. Some have been refused promotion because they are not corrupt enough. If you promote them, they will block the ways of other people. Some are sacked because they are standing for God's righteousness. And many Christians over the years and even now are being killed, murdered, because they believe in Jesus. A few years ago, the news of ISIS killing Christians around the Middle East was everywhere. Today, there is Boko Haram in the north of Nigeria killing Christians. To them, Boko, which is book, the Bible, is Haram, is forbidden. That's what they stand for, kill the people of the book. In ancient Rome, many Christians were thrown to dogs or lions because they believed in Jesus. And sadly today, there are some families who will kill their own blood as part of honor killing because somehow they have believed in Christ. And you may be here this morning, maybe your family have disowned you or your friends have abandoned you because you now believe in Christ. These are examples of those who are suffering, or what it means to suffer for righteousness. And as I said, you may be here this morning and you may be undergoing pain and distress or hardship. God is concerned about your suffering, even if it's not for God's righteousness. But I think it's important for us to understand that our focus today is we are looking at suffering for God's righteousness, for righteousness' sake. And so when we go back to our passage and we see Peter writing to these Christians who are suffering, scattered all over the place, this passage is written to encourage us and to encourage them when we suffer for righteousness. And the second part of what we are going to look at this morning is the right attitude towards suffering for righteousness. Of course, once I say the word right, there's always wrong. There's a wrong way to respond to suffering for righteousness. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and again verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And that is the first thing you should know. If you are suffering for righteousness, know that you will be blessed. Suffering is not a good thing. Nobody wants to suffer. It's not something people will willingly subject themselves to. But know that you will be blessed. And let me read what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. The right attitude towards suffering for righteousness is to know that you will be blessed. In fact, there is a story in Acts chapter 5. The disciples of Jesus had gone out to preach, and the religious leaders of their time didn't like the fact that they were preaching the gospel. And this is what Luke recorded for us in Acts 5, 40 to 41. At this, they yielded to Gamaliel, that is the religious leaders. There's one of them who is Gamaliel, who said, "You don't need to kill this man. If these things they are saying is not of God, it will die naturally." And the Bible says, they called the apostles in and had them flogged. When I was going to secondary and primary school, they used to flog us. These days, they don't flog children. So if you are very young and you don't know flogging, flogging is when they bring you out and they, on your bum, they give you some strokes of the cane. This is what they did to these old men. These are not children. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, as for the name of Christ. Just see the attitude. Having the right attitudes towards suffering for righteousness, know that you will be blessed. Jesus said it, we see the attitude of the apostles. If you are being flogged, most times you will cry. But these men went home rejoicing. And again, if we look at our passage, 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. It says, "Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." When I say the right way, to know that you are blessed is the right way to respond to suffering for righteousness. Like that man who said to suffer is a sin, that is wrong. It's the wrong way to react to suffering for righteousness. When you are suffering for righteousness, don't think that God has condemned you. Actually, you are blessed. And do not fear those who are punishing you or persecuting you for righteousness, and do not be troubled by them. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Do not fear them. Some of them will look so terrifying, they will even make their voice sound so bad. They might even threaten you. But having the right attitudes to suffering for righteousness is, do not fear them and don't be troubled by it. And verse 15 and 16 tells us to honor Christ in our heart and be prepared to make defense for the hope that is in you. Be prepared, even if you are being persecuted or punished or suffering for your faith. Honor Christ in your heart. This is the right attitude to responding to suffering for righteousness. And verse 17 says, "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." If you are suffering for righteousness as a Christian, know that it is God's will. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, this is what he said to him. "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted." Or you can say will suffer. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So if you are here this morning and you are a Christian and you are suffering because of your faith, because of your belief in Christ, remember it is God's will. And the last point I will make on that is look at Jesus. So verse 18 to 22 of our passage is all saying to us, look at Jesus. For Christ also suffered. The suffering is not unique to us, for Christ also suffered. And it is in his suffering that we obtain our salvation and our righteousness. And through his suffering, the Bible says in this passage, Christ was glorified. Through suffering, he was glorified. Through suffering, we have our salvation. And if we, as Christians, are suffering because of our belief in Christ, let us look unto Jesus, because Christ also suffered. We want to be holy. We want to be like Jesus. Christ suffered. For those who like reading history, all of Christ's disciples, the 12, apart from Judas Iscariot, who killed himself, of course, they all suffered. They all suffered after Christ. So if anybody is suffering because of what you believe, it is part of our journey to holiness, to becoming like Jesus. Christ also suffered. If any preacher on TV, there are many of them, or somebody coming to your doorstep to say, come to Jesus, you will never suffer, that's a lie. The Bible says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. So suffering for righteousness' sake is part of the Christian package. It's not abnormal. And this morning we have looked at the right way to respond. Unfortunately, there are some people who, when they suffer for righteousness, they say, well, if God can allow this to happen to me, oh, I shouldn't follow him again. And that's why I read verse 8 to 12 to see some of the things that Peter was saying we should do. In fact, those things sound very good. Those are the good things we should do, of course. And then in verse 12, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. There was a brother who lost his job. And once he lost his job, he started to complain and say, God, how can I lose my job when I pay my tithe and offering? I come to church every time. Because somebody had told him that when he's in Christ, he cannot suffer. But that's not scriptures. And that's not the way we should respond as Christians. In our journey to become like Jesus and to be holy in our conduct as God is holy, we will suffer for righteousness' sake. And let us see this as a privilege that God has given us to be like him. Let us rejoice. But let me just say that we are not to go about seeking for trouble or seeking for persecution, nor should we feel less holy because we are not suffering like somebody else, or because we are not being severely persecuted like some people. If it is God's will that we are to suffer for his name, let us show the right attitude to our suffering, as Peter has shown us in this passage. Please don't go about looking for trouble and say somebody should come and persecute me. No. If it is God's will that we suffer for his name's sake, let us remember what Peter is encouraging us to do, the right attitude we need to have. You are not less a Christian than the lady in Pakistan who was condemned for blasphemy. Nor are you less a Christian to those Christians who are fed to dogs or who are in some concentration camp in North Korea. But remember, if it is God's will to suffer for his name's sake, let us have the right attitude. And if you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, I would like to read verse 17 to you again. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So you may be here this morning and in your life you are suffering for the right thing. In your own eyes, of course, you are fighting the right cause. Fighting for the poor, and that's great. But the Bible says your righteousness without Jesus is like a filthy rag before God. Your righteousness, the things you do that you think is right in your own eyes without Christ, is like a filthy rag. It doesn't amount to righteousness before God. So Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to God the Father except through him. Not by activism, which is great on its own. And that's why Paul said, if I give myself up to be burnt for the poor for some cause and have not love, I am nothing. If you are doing everything right in your own eyes without Jesus, is still not righteousness before God. Let's bow our heads and pray.